sermon entitled, Don't Give Up. Don't give up. There are days when we all feel like giving up, throwing in the towel, and just walking away from everything. Just walk away from it all. Have you ever felt like that? Just throw in the towel, say, I'm done. The weariness of everyday battle and everyday life, the problems, the relationship, relational issues, the fatigue, and etc. They just seem to overwhelm you sometime, and just feel like just quitting. Just to relate just a little thing to you, and just something I can identify with this week or a week ago Saturday. I had a little baby calf. It was about 10 days old. And I 7 days old at the time, and the little calf just wasn't doing good. And I couldn't figure out why. I thought it was getting enough milk, but it was looked like it was starving to death and just wasn't doing good. So I took it to the vet and found out it had an infection. And so we got that taken care of. But then it still wasn't doing well. It just looked like it could die. And so I went and got some milk replacer, figured it just wasn't getting enough nourishment from its mama. And it took me 5 days, three times a day, going down there with that milk to ever get that calf to finally start drinking. I didn't want to take the place of its mama. I just wanted to supplement. And I couldn't get that calf to, and I finally one day I just walked away and I wanted to just throw the bottle down, stomp on it. Because she wouldn't take it. I mean, I sat there for 30 minutes, straddled that calf with my finger, you know, putting that nipple in her mouth. And, you know, that's how you do it. You get them started. They get the taste of it, and they usually just take off and go to, I couldn't get her to do it. Water, milk, what little milk I get in her mouth, she just let it run right back out. I wanted to kick her in the head. I was frustrated. I wanted to just quit. Okay, if you want to die, just die. I can't help you, but I didn't quit. Now she's chasing. This morning I got through feeding her. She's chasing me around the lot. You know, and I'm just going to feed her once a day because I don't want to take the. I want her to keep trying to get some nourishment from her mama. But so you to understand what I'm saying. You feel that way sometimes. You just want to quit. Now, that's a simple thing. I just didn't want to lose a calf. I lost a calf off that same cow last year, and I didn't want to lose another one off that cow. You know, I'm going to lose the cow after this year. By the way. She's going to town, and I ain't dressing her up for it neither. She's going to town. You know what I mean? Going to sale barn. She's worthless. Won't raise a calf. But so I want to encourage you today. Don't give up. I mean, and life's bigger than a calf. I understand that. That's just a simple thing, but life's bigger than that. And there's times we all feel like giving up. And I want to encourage you with this scripture today, Galatians the 6th chapter. In the 9th verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So although we've all thought about throwing in the towel, especially when we're tired and worn out, God knows how to send us his rhema word or God-breathed word just when we need it. And I hope today, this particular sermon, I hope there's somebody here today that needs what I'm going to say. I hope it's something that will encourage you this morning to not give up. But sometimes we need a word from the Lord. I believe God masterfully ordains and orchestrates times of refreshing for his children. He positions us for the next level of intense anointing, which ultimately prepares us for our operational call. Let me just tell you right there, all of us have something that God wants us to do for him. You've not been placed in a church been born again just to sit on a church pew and do nothing. You need to take ownership of what God has placed and God has breathed into your spirit to do for him. No matter how small it may seem to you or insignificant you may think it is, you need to grab hold of what God has placed in your spirit to do for the kingdom of God so that he might elevate you to the next level of service and elevate you then again to another level of service so that you might do something that's beneficial to the body and get out of that mode road of what's in it for me. I'm going to church today and I'm going to receive something from God. Why don't you get into the mode, into the mood, into this place that you're going to church so that you might be beneficial to somebody else around you, so that you might go to church and say, I'm not going to church today for myself. I'm not going because I need something. I'm going so that I might worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and make myself available to do something for somebody else. It's not about me. It's about Him. Come on now. So we need to do that sometime. Now, having said all of that, remember the enemy of your soul will not sit idly by and assist us to reach unprecedented levels of new anointing. The devil and his group, his crowd's not going to help you reach the pinnacle of the anointing of God that you would desire or God would desire for you. I believe he literally increases and turns up his attack, and believe me, he plays dirty. The devil plays dirty. Now, I know he's not omnipresent, not all-powerful. He's not everywhere. But he does have dominion and power in this earth. And he has a group of fallen angels that help him accomplish what he wants to accomplish in this earth. He plays dirty. He hits below the belt. He bites. He kicks. He uses illegal holds. He's doing everything he can to tear us down and destroy us. And some of you have been in a death hold with the enemy for quite some time, and you never quite figured out how to get out of that hold. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. May I suggest to you today, if the devil has bitten the tip of your ear off, if he's got you down in a stranglehold today, that you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and begin to trust him to bring you out of every situation, to release you from the stronghold of Satan today. I believe God will do that if you allow him. As a result of Satan's constant badgering and turbulent attack, there are many in the body of Christ who could easily throw in the towel and give up. Perhaps you're tired. Perhaps you're tired of being sick. Perhaps you're tired of coming up short, tired of fighting, tired of the pain, tired of the attacks, tired of always feeling like you don't have enough to make it, tired of feeling defeated, tired of never being able to get ahead, tired of feeling like you'll never be victorious. Perhaps you're just ready to give up. Well, may I suggest to you today, you need to be like that third monkey trying to get on Noah's ark. You understand me? You need to fight the fight. If you is the third one picked, you need to rush up to the second one and say, it's my turn. I'm going on next. If anybody's going to be left behind, it's going to be you, devil. It's not going to be me. I'm going to fight my way through. I'm getting on the boat. Amen. Maybe you're ready to give. If that's you, I want you to know God has a word for you today. It may not make you feel good, but it's God's word for you. It may not feel good to you, but it's good for you. Sometimes the word of God will prick us. It's sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible says. It divides even asunder. It gets a hold of us. For those of you ready to throw in the towel and give up, the Lord would have me simply tell you this today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sure, you're tired. Sure, you feel like giving up. Sure, you're discouraged at times. So, sure, it seems like God doesn't hear you. Sometimes it feel like your prayers don't get through. Sure, you can't seem to get a breakthrough, but I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9, again, our text says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't give up. Don't lose heart while you're doing good. Don't faint while you're doing the right thing. We got a world today that calls right wrong and wrong right. Just because the world has legislated something and said that it's right doesn't make it right when God says it's wrong. You can call sins a right, or you can call sin right, but you cannot make it right when God's word says it's sin. It's still sin. And so you may be in this fight today. You may be in danger of quitting, but I want to give you a few points this morning about this. So if you give up, number one, if you give up today, you will crucify your confession. You've confessed that you love the Lord Jesus. You've confessed Him as Lord and Savior. But if you give up, you've crucified, you've destroyed your confession. Hebrews 10:35-38 says this, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Do you understand today? Don't cast away your confidence you have, which has great recompense of reward. One of these days, Jesus is coming back for the church. He's coming back for a people that's looking for and longing for His return. The people that are watching the eastern skies daily, that are living their lives to please Jesus Christ. Sure, you might make mistakes. Sure, you might let Him down. Sure, sometimes you get in the wrong, but your heart is pure and your mind is set upon Jesus Christ, and you repent daily of the things you might even think sometimes. Don't even do them, but you think them. So you repent of them because you have received a promise. That's the promise of the coming of the Lord. Promise of a great reward when He gets back. I don't want to draw back. The Bible says here to live by, the just live by faith. But if you draw back, He says, I don't have any pleasure in you. Don't draw back. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stay the course. Stay the course. There's an old song by the New Hensons. It's been out a long time now, but it's called The Old Ship of Zion. It talks about the ship. It said there's an old ship and it's sitting mighty low in the water. And it talks about how it's been battered. It's been beat up. But it's still floating. It's still on top of the water. It's not going down. And basically that's what the song, it's not going down. The ship of Zion's not going down. If you'll hang in there, you're going to make it. If you won't give up, you'll make it. And heaven's going to be mighty sweet someday. Oh, can you imagine when you get to heaven, there may be a little corner over here somewhere that's going to have a group of people in it, and they're going to bid you to come over and sit down with them. And you'll say, why would they do that? Because that's going to be a group of people that quite possibly, because you didn't give up, because you kept your confession of faith, they're going to be over here in this corner, and they're going to say, come here, we want to tell you something. And you'll go over there and they'll say, what are you going to tell me? And they'll say, you're the reason I'm here today. I watched your walk. I listened not just to your talk. I watched your walk, and I listened when you did talk, and I got saved because of you. You didn't know I got saved. I got saved over here at this other church, but it was because of you. I knelt down on the side of my bed one night and got saved, and I'm here tonight because of your confession of faith. Don't give up, church. Don't give up. At number two, if you give up, you'll contaminate your character. You don't want to contaminate your character. We can look at the book of Job, and we can read about a man named Job who was an excellent example of character. Job was a man of impeccable character. I know he argued with God. I know he had some friends that said he was a sinner. And I know he questioned God about some things, but he never gave up on God. The Bible says in Job, the 2nd chapter and the 3rd verse, it says, there was none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil and still holds fast to his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. There is one man, God said, you incited him. You tried to get him to turn his back on me, and he did. Do it. In a matter of days, Job lost his business, Job lost his wealth, Job lost his family, and Job lost his health. Just in a matter of a few days, he lost everything that he had gained through his lifetime. lost it all. But he never blamed God. Never blamed God. What does that say about character? A lot of us, the first little thing, we get a little hangnail in life. We don't only blame God. We walk out of the church and said, I ain't never going back. If that's how God does, if that's what it's like, I'm not going to serve a God like that. What a God like what? God that saved you, God that delivered you, God that heals you, the God that supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory, a God that does all things. I'm going to walk away from that. A God, he sent us Jesus, and you're like, I don't want a God like that. Well, Jesus said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Just because you're going through a storm doesn't mean he's left you. And Job went through a major storm, and he didn't have Jesus, but he had God, and he trusted God. So you see, there's a difference between your character and your reputation. Is your reputation is what people think you are, and your character is who God knows you to be. Who are you really? You what people think you are, or you what God knows you are? Think about that for a minute. You see, Job lost it all. And to add insult to injury, his friends begin to turn on him and add insult and to speculate as to why it had happened. They said he must have some hidden sin. Sounds like people today. First little thing goes on in somebody's life. There must be something there. There's got to be something hidden. They must be have some sin in their life. And the Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. It doesn't say there's sin in your life, so God's going to try you. It says the trying of your faith worketh patience. Endurance causes endurance. And but people want to blame you and say there must be something wrong. Well, there might be in some instances, but not every instance. But look how Job responded in chapters 4 through 37. Would y'all like for me to read all of them to you this morning? I didn't think so. He defends his stance against his friends and his wife as to why he remains on the Lord's side. His wife even told him, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? That's the kind of loving wife I want. First time we go through a storm, she says, just curse your God and die. I'm out of here. I just give her the heel of my shoe and say, go on and leave. Now, I ain't going to turn my back on God. Through the midst of it all this hell and havoc, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my ways before him. No matter what came his way, no matter what comes your way, you've got to be like Job and hang in there for the long haul. You know? Weeping only endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You're going to make it through, and you need to be like Job. In chapter 38 of the book of Job, God begins to reveal himself and his purpose to Job. He said to Job, he asked Job, who are you to question me? Who are you to question me about what I allow for you to go through in your life? Have you ever questioned God and then felt the Holy Spirit say, who in the world do you think you are? You're a child of the Most High God. Who are you to question God when God allows something bad or something, whatever it is? You don't question him when something good goes on, do you? You just thank him for the blessing. You get a windfall of money, so thank the Lord for your blessing. But when you don't have enough to go around, say, where's my God? And why in the world is he making me go through this? Don't we? We blame God, wonder why. Job didn't do it. Said, I'm not going to. He did question him, and God put him in his place. I'd a lot rather have a God to put me in my place as a God that would just ignore me. Let me bellyache and whine around. I tell you, I want a God that'll help me get through it and explain things to me even when I can't understand it. Go ahead and explain it. And so God is answering Job in response to him asking God to explain himself. And basically God said, I don't have to explain myself, but you know, God at times he'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He'll explain himself to you, or you, though you're looking through a glass darkly, you all of a sudden it'll be illuminated to you and you'll see the purpose and the reason for it. And the Bible teaches us that although we go through some things now and we see through the glass darkly, one of these days it'll be revealed to us. And we'll understand it. So we sang that old song, I'll understand it better by and by. By and by, Lord, when the morning comes, you know, we'll understand it better. But even in the midst of the questioning or the rebuke from God, Job still maintains his integrity and character by admitting that he is nothing in comparison to God. He's nothing. Oh, some people hadn't got that into their spirits yet. They think they're all that. Better humble ourselves. Real character always keeps you in check as it relates to where you stand with God. Job didn't contaminate himself or his character by succumbing to the attacks of the enemy, by allowing his friends to persuade him in the midst of trying times. He said, no, I'm going to serve God. No, I'm going to trust God. I don't understand all about this, but I'm going to trust him. I can't figure it out, but I know God's in control. That's what he did. I can't figure it out. God just got through telling me to quit questioning him, so I'll just have to wait. You know, when you get to the end of that chapter, you'll see that Job was more wealthy than he'd ever been. Everything was restored to him. Bigger and better than before. God blessed his life. Now, you may not get to the end of your life and have more than you've ever expected. But if you've got Jesus, you've got more than you need. And if you go to the grave of a pauper and you have Jesus Christ, you have heaven to gain. You may have lived in a shanty or a shack here. You may be in a house or a place that you'd rather not live in. And it may not be the best of place, but if you'll hang in there, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days you're going to have a house that's sitting on the side of streets of gold. And the place there will have walls, the city will have walls of jasper, gates of pearl. There's going to be a beautiful place. The Bible says the Lamb of God is the light thereof of that city. There's a river running through the middle of it. It's a beautiful place that you want to go to. You do want to go there one of these days. And so don't succumb to the enemy's attacks and give up. I want you to encourage you today, if you'll hang in there, you will receive a great reward. It may not be here on this side of heaven, but you're going to receive a great reward if you'll remain faithful. The first thing God did in answering Job in response to Job maintaining his character was to rebuke his friends. He put his friends in their place. After he rebuked his friends, he restored his fortunes. The Bible says he received double of everything that he had had. Everything. Why did he receive that? Because he didn't give up. He understood that you can't give up. I don't care how old you are today, whether you're just a teenager or you're an older adult, senior adult here today, there's no place to give up. No reason to throw your hands up and throw the towel in. Don't give up. Stay in there. Hang in there. You may have been sick for a long time. Hang in there. You may not have enough money hardly to buy a can of beans, but hang in there. You may have difficulty on your job and wonder from day to day if you even have a job. Hang in there. God's not going to forsake you. Jesus will take care of you, and God will help you if you'll just not give up. I believe there's anointing here at this church. I believe of you because of the connection you have with this church, and I believe there's going to be a greater anointing in the weeks to come. And I believe because there's anointing here at this church, there's anointing that rests upon each of you. But you're going to need that anointing to transition to the next level. But you'll never get it if you give up. Don't give up. Your family won't run after God with fervency if you give up. Your victory will not come if you give up. Your struggle will continue to cause you to stumble if you give up. Don't give up. I declare to you today that giving up is not an option. It's not an option. Don't give up your worship. Don't give up your fellowship. I was here today. I just to be honest with you, I'm a little frustrated before church got started today. Just a number of reasons, and not going to go into detail, but number of reasons. But when when we begin to worship, and I'm the Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit checked me in my spirit, and so you need, you know, get over it, get over yourself, and get over it. It's no big deal, and go to the pulpit and do what you're supposed to do, and act like you're supposed to act, and put that behind you. And so I want to declare to you today, I don't care what you're going through, I don't care how bad it's been this week, don't give up, and don't give up your worship. Begin to worship the Lord. Don't give up your fellowship. Don't give up discipleship. Don't give up relationship. Don't give up stewardship. Don't give up your membership. Just keep coming to church. Keep serving the Lord. Don't give up here. Stay connected, and you'll flourish. And I guess I need to preach this for anything. We got a new pastor. You have a new pastor coming. Stay connected. Keep your fellowship. Keep your membership. Don't give up. Don't quit. Let's see what God has for the next level. And so stay connected. If you disconnect, you'll become aimless and end up making decisions in the time of despondency that'll cause more grief later. And oftentimes people do give up in the middle of a storm, and they leave the church, or they walk away from God for a period of time, and their life becomes a shipwreck. And if they'd have stayed the course, God was on the move, and God was about to move on their behalf, but they gave up. Don't give up. I've dealt with a lot of people over the years that gave up right on the brink of a miracle. Right when God was about to bring restoration, they gave up, walked away. So stay the course, ride the wave, keep the faith, fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. You'll reap if you don't faint. You'll reap if you don't faint. And this is discouraging to me today. I'm almost finished, and I'm getting out of here early, and that ain't good. Y'all will expect that. So I had to preach another sermon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 says this. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. This is Apostle Paul. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. I don't know if that struck a chord with you. It just struck a chord with me. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, not destroyed. Hallelujah. 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 You ever felt that way? Hallelujah. Hang in there. Don't quit. You'll reap. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18 says, Paul said this, we do not lose heart. The first verses up above, he said, we're hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. He says now, but we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is not seen is eternal. Isn't that a good attitude? This is a temporary life. We're looking for the eternal life. These things, we may be perplexed today. We may feel hard-pressed. You may feel in despair. You may feel persecuted. You may feel abandoned and struck down today, but don't do it. Don't let that get the best of you. Don't lose heart. Hang in there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went through it for you, but he didn't get perplexed. He wasn't struck down. He wasn't destroyed. You say, well, he was struck down. They hung him on a cross. Yeah, but that didn't destroy him. On the third day, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose triumphantly that day. He showed us how to overcome death, hell, and the grave. When he come out of that grave that day, looking unto Jesus, our great example of trust in God, our great example of commitment to the will of God, a great example of how to pray, our great example of how to overcome temptation and suffering, our great example of endurance and loyalty to the Father, and our great example of how to seek the joy of completing the work of God in our life and what God has called us to. He's our great example, or he is our source of strength. He is our source of love. He is our source of grace. He is our source of mercy today. You can receive every help you need in any trouble if you look to Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. I don't care who you are. Don't give up. If you're going to give up anything, give up that high-paying job and follow Jesus. But don't give up on Jesus. Amen. I've been reminded just briefly of a story. And there's a football player named Tim Tebow. How many of you have heard of Tim Tebow? And I don't know the whole story, and I don't know all about it. I'm going to just give a little snippet of something I learned this week. But you know how he was... he was chastised and he was crucified and he was basically drummed out of football. And he maybe wasn't that good of a player, but yet they basically drummed him out because of his faith. Here he was, a man having faith in Jesus, and they ostracized him and basically kicked him out. Do you know he didn't let that stop him? Did you know if you take that back, go back to his mama, did you know that they told her to abort him? Because he was sick in her womb. They didn't think he ought to live. The doctor suggested that she should abort him for her good and his good. But yet here he is, 6 foot something tall, 200 and something pounds, running now benefit. I can't remember, it's called some kind of foundation that he runs now to help children that are underprivileged. The Tim Tebow Foundation. If he would have listened to the naysayers, and he had listened to those that said you got to give up on God, that this message that you're preaching, trying to promote here on the football field is inappropriate. If he'd have listened to them and gave up on God, he wouldn't be where he was at today. And I think he just married a beauty queen just recently. Some miss something. One of them people that win them beauty pageants. He still didn't get one as beautiful as mine, by the way, but he got one he liked. I didn't have to say that. She wasn't here today, was she? You understand what I'm saying? If he'd have gave up, he wouldn't be where he's at today. If he'd have gave up, he may have still been playing professional football. But he wouldn't be as successful as he is today because he's a success in Jesus Christ. He's doing something for the kingdom of God and for others. It wasn't all about Tim Tebow. It was all about God and God's will for his life. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's all I got to say today.